Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace towards us. We thank you for this letter to the Hebrews that we've been learning from over these weeks. And we pray now that by your Spirit, who inspired these words, you would help us to understand them and to know more of your grace through them. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, I'm sure all of us would have to agree it has been quite a week in terms of the things that have happened in the nation. And yet it is just a week ago that the nation was celebrating Andy Murray's Wimbledon win. Now, many have put his recent success down to his reuniting with his coach, Ivan Lendl. Murray has said, "Ivan has been through a lot of the same things that I have." And a newspaper reporter wrote, "Lendl is a soothing influence on Andy, encouraging him to focus." Now, it's true, isn't it, that at all times, or at least at various times in our lives, we need messages of encouragement. And the letter to the Hebrews, this letter we've been learning from over these weeks, describes itself as exactly that. At the end of the reading that John's just done for us, chapter 13 of Hebrews on page 1213 of these black Bibles, we read, "I appeal to you, bear with my word of exhortation," or my message of encouragement. Now, Hebrews has reminded us that when we are under pressure to give up on Jesus, like the original hearers were, we need to be encouraged to look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And that is because, as the letter has outlined, Jesus is better than anything or anyone else. He is the one through whom God has supremely spoken. Jesus can empathize, understand our human weakness, because though divine, he also lived a human life on earth. Jesus is greater than all spiritual beings or any human hero. He is the mediator between God the Father and us sinful people, the go-between. He makes possible a new superior covenant agreement reconciling us to God, because he, Jesus, is the great high priest and the once-for-all sacrifice for sins. Now, this word of exhortation has been full of positive encouragements like the ones that I've just listed. But it also involves warnings. And that is because Jesus is not only the better way, he is the only way that God has provided as his unique agent to bring people to himself through his death and resurrection. And that means that if people turn away from Jesus, reject Jesus, well, there's no reconciliation. There's no sacrifice for sins. And we can only expect to receive the dreadful sentence of judgment that we deserve, rather than the wonderful sentence of acquittal that he offers. Well, the last time that we looked at the letter to the Hebrews, we saw how in chapter 11, we are encouraged to keep holding on in faith, putting confidence in God's great promises, many of which we have already seen being fulfilled in Jesus. Well, as the writer continues into chapter 12, he reminds us of something very important, and that is that experiencing difficulty and challenge and suffering should not make us think that God has abandoned us. It should not make us think that God no longer loves us. But actually, God can use such experiences positively in our lives. Just as our human fathers disciplined us when we were children, the writer says, chapter 12, verse 10, God disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now, what's more, chapter 12 shows us that we should be encouraged by the reality that as believers in Jesus, we belong to what is really the true church, That is that vast assembly gathered around Jesus in heaven, of which a local church like ours is a franchise. Now, when we know where we're going, so chapter 12, verse 28, just before what we read in chapter 13, we are encouraged or exhorted, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. This exhortation to worship the true God acceptably leads to a series of specific exhortations or encouragement as the letter concludes. And the first is about love. So verse 1, let brotherly love continue. See, through Jesus, we have been united into a new family, a family that we should look out for one another in, a family that we should care for one another, practically love one another, and also those that we know less well. So verse 2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Hospitality, whether that's sharing meals or time or interests with another, is a powerful application to continue brotherly love, as is visiting the needy and supporting those who are experiencing injustice. Verse 3, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are also in the body. That is, that you also experience life as a human being. Well, then the writer goes on to talk about appropriate sexual love. Verse 4, let marriage be held in honour among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. Many believe that we're now living in a society that is more confused about sexual relationships than it has been for a very, very long time. How important, then, that we affirm the truth about how God has made us as human beings and his plans for sexual relationships and relationships in general. As Jesus said about marriage in Mark chapter 10, verse 6, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now, our behaviour in this area reflects our attitude to God. So the misuse of sex and sexual relationships that are not according to God's plan from the beginning are not just socially disadvantageous and damaging, they actually provoke God's just judgment. So verse 4, let marriage be held in honour among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. And they're serious words, and they make us realise how wonderful it is when we fail in this area, that God can give us forgiveness through Jesus when we turn to him and ask him. Well, if there is appropriate love to continue, that great brotherly love that's commended to us, there's also here an inappropriate love to avoid. Verse 5, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. When we've been reconciled to God through Jesus, our great high priest, we have what is the most important thing in life. And there are many promises to encourage us in that. So verse 5, he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God pledges his very presence to be with us. So we can confidently say, verse 6, quoting the Psalms, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Acceptable worship of God, then, in response to what he has done for us in Jesus, involves godly love. And also, it involves our attitude to our leaders. So verse 7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. those through whom we have heard God's word are worthy of respect. After all, it's not their message, but it's God's message. It is God's message about the unchanging Jesus. Verse 8, Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. And that means, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So on the whole, we should try and cooperate with those who lead us and teach us the word of God. It doesn't help the harmony of the local church family if we're forever grumbling and being difficult. Now, interestingly, the writer, as a Christian leader himself, says, verse 18, pray for us. And how important it is that we do pray for those who are leaders here at All Saints, those who teach in our services, who lead groups, who teach our children, who lead through the various roles in our church family. It's right to respect their positions and them and their teachings when we can see that their teachings come from the Word of God in the Bible. We all remain weak and we are all still sinners, and so we can easily fall and fail and make mistakes. And so leaders especially need prayer for God's grace. And there's a reminder in that too that there are limits to cooperation with leaders or spiritual teachers. We should take notice of what they say only when it's consistent with Jesus Christ and God's word about him in the Bible. Verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. Those of us who've heard something of the rest of this letter over these weeks might remember that these believers were especially vulnerable to going back to rituals and ceremonies that had become obsolete because they were now fulfilled in Jesus. The reality has come, and so it is God's grace in Jesus that we need. Now, sadly, in our day, there is false teaching about, as there was then, even from some who have dog collars around their necks. And so we need to be encouraged, we need to be exhorted not to be led away by diverse and strange teachings, things that are not according to the truth that God has made known in his word. And the best way to do that is to keep our eyes on Jesus and the good news about him. Verse 12. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. You see, any opposition that we might face is only a small taste of what Jesus experienced. But he suffered and shed his blood, as we remember in Holy Communion, so that we might be sanctified, that is, made holy, made acceptable to God, even though in ourselves we aren't, all because of what Jesus has done. And that gives us great confidence for the future. Verse 14, for here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. We have a great hope. And it also inspires us to thank God. Verse 15, through him, that is Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. You see, Jesus' blood sacrifice was once for all. He died to pay the price of our sins, to bring us forgiveness and acceptance with God. We don't need to offer any sacrifice for sins. But instead, in gratitude, we offer a sacrifice of praise. Jesus has finished the job. He has offered to us complete forgiveness. So then we offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledges his name. And it's great, isn't it, when we have the opportunity, especially together, to be able to sing praises and speak out praises in our prayers. And also, bringing us back to our first exhortation to love practically, verse 16 tells us, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Well, it's true, isn't it, that we all need a message of encouragement, at least from time to time, and most of us very regularly. Even a Wimbledon champion does. Well, supremely as Christians, because pressures come in various forms, even opposition and suffering that might tempt us to give up, we need to be exhorted to keep hearing God's word, worshipping him acceptably with lip and life in love, living out God's will, which is holding fast to the profession of our faith in Jesus, not giving up on him, but remembering who he is, Jesus, our great high priest, who has brought us to God the Father by providing purification for sins through his once-for-all sacrifice. What an encouragement, then, to be commended to God in those pretty famous words at the end of chapter 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Well, let's be quiet for a moment.